we can start off just now. I'd like to ask if anybody has any comments or questions or discussion based on the earlier things. We can start off with that just for 5 minutes or something. Or if nobody has anything, then I'll continue a little bit. Would you? It says of the holy name, Mantra Tash Tantra Tash Chidram. This verse is quoted by Sanatana Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas, and also by Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas. It's an important verse in that sense. Mantra Tash Tantra Tash Chidram. Chidram means fault. In terms of our mantra and tantra, you can say our organized religion. Or more literally, the mantras you chant and the ways that you do things, your religious activities, your tantra, there's always going to be some chidra, desa kala vasita, according to the time, place, and objects, you'll have some chidra. But sarvam kroti nishchidram, all that chidra goes far away, anu sankirtanam tava, through the chanting of the holy name. That verse is actually spoken by, what's his name? The Sukracharya spoke that verse to Lord Vamanadeva. But it's quoted by Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So we should see things in the context as we were speaking here. But at the same time, we can also see how our acharyas have commented on it, and they accept the literal point that it's actually a literal thing. It's an important verse. We didn't speak so much on it when I mentioned it before, but one point that we can understand by that is that if someone is claiming to be a Gaudiya Vaishnava, then Mahaprabhu, he says that Jariyama Pratisneha Taki Savakar Tabe Krishna Vyati Rikta Nagai Deyar. He says, if you really love me, you'll love my instructions. And what is my instruction? You don't chant any other name except for Krishna now. You chant Krishna now. That's his instruction. So if we're a Gaudiya Vaishnava, you're going to chant Hare Krishna. And you're going to have strong faith in the holy name. So from that verse, we can understand that if someone claims to be a Gaudiya Vaishnava, it's not appropriate for them to criticize anyone else who's chanting the holy name. It doesn't matter what affiliation they belong to, what group, if they're a Babaji or a Goswami or a Gaudiya Mutt or an ISKCON or whatever. We have our Seva Sangha of our Guru, and we stay with that. We should be Nisha. That's how we're going to make advancement. But from this verse, we can understand if someone's chanting, there's no fault there. Sometimes in ISKCON, we say there's so many faults, but what do we expect? And we're preaching to people who used to be prostitutes and butchers and drug addicts and drunkards and things, and they're becoming devotees. The majority of people who are joining our society, they weren't Vaishnavas before they were joining. Most of the people, the Goswamis, most of the followers of the Babajis, most of the followers of the Gaudiya Mutt, were Vaishnavas. Or at least they knew something about Vaishnavism before. But in ISKCON, we didn't have that. But there's no fault. There's no lacking. It's not that Srila Prabhupada only gave ABC. Prabhupada emphasized basic things because he was preaching to kindergarten students. But he gave everything. If we look in Madhulila chapter 8 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, to the conversations between Lord Ramananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the things that are spoken about there, I don't want to speak about. There's some of them spoken about later on in Matsurmi's Vrindavan. Very, very high subject matter. You can't find any higher subject matter than that. And Srila Prabhupada, he's speaking everything about it. I haven't seen anything deeper than what Srila Prabhupada is saying. But generally he gives things in a simple way. So that verse is very important because we can understand that everything is okay. Natan Das Thakur, in one song, he sings some Karmi Gyani Nicha Bhakti, Nicha Bhakta, Nat Toy Habu Anurakta. You shouldn't be attached to the Karmis, the Gyanis, or the Nicha Bhaktas, the false devotees. Rather, Sudha Bhajaneti Koroman. You should become absorbed in pure bhajan. From his description, we can understand that if you're absorbed in looking at the faults of the Karmis, the Gyanis, or the false Bhaktas, it means you're not doing pure bhajan. Because he's saying, don't do those things. Rather than do those things, you should do sudhaneti bhajan koroman. You should do pure bhajan. So we came here for a particular reason. Shrayan Sudhama Viguna Paradharma Sunusita. Krishna says this verse twice in the Gita, very important thing. We're speaking about this repetition, the importance of repetition. Krishna says the same exact verse twice in the Gita. Shrayan Sudhama Viguna Paradharma Sunusita. It is better to do your duty, even if there's some fault in it, than someone else's duty perfectly. Because if you end up trying to do someone else's duty, there's so much danger in that. So we have a particular duty. We've come to Krishna consciousness. We've gotten everything. We've gotten the very highest thing there is, which is the holy name. We've gotten the very highest literatures. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the very highest subject matters. We've gotten those things. Now we just have to do something with it. There's no necessity to go and get anything else, but we have to act according to what's been given us. I don't know about the rest of you, but for myself, I can say very frankly, I came to ISKCON not because Krishna told me one day in the spiritual world when I was there enjoying with him as a cowherd boy, Krishna said, "Hey, Madhavananda, you know, there's a lot of problems in ISKCON. I want you to go there and solve all the problems." I wasn't sent here, I'll just tell you very honestly, Krishna didn't send me here to solve the problems of ISKCON. I came here because I have problems. And I have a certain adhikar, I have a certain service, and I should do my service. And my service is not to be a manager. My service is to write and print books. My Guru Maharaj told me if someone asked you to speak, I should speak. So I have a right to do that. And I shouldn't try to do someone else's service. The Guru, Srila Prabhupada, he had a service. His service was, he was also a servant. There's a famous story, the devotees, they greeted Srila Prabhupada at the airport, I think in San Francisco. And there's a big, huge kirtan going on. And it was causing some problems in the airport. And so they made some announcement. One of the devotees said, "Could all the devotees please move over?" New York, he knows the story. "Could all the devotees please move over?" And so Prabhupada immediately got up and moved over also. And they said, "Prabhupada, it's not necessary for you." They're saying, "No, no, I'm a devotee also." Prabhupada was thinking like that. And he had his service. He was doing his service for his Guru Maharaj. And part of his service was to find fault with all of us, his disciples and his grand disciples, and to chastise us. Because he's Guru. And because he's Nindari Shunya Hrida Nipsita Sangha Labhya. He's Nindari Shunya Hrida. His heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. We want his association. He's not criticizing others for his own sense gratification. He's criticizing like anything. But it's just not in his heart. He's doing it to purify us. And so if we try to imitate him, there's two things, Anupur and Anusar. We should be Anusar, following the essence, and not Anupur, imitating. And so these people who want to criticize, "Oh, you know, the ISKCON devotees, they're all speaking, you know, ABC, and what are they doing? All they're doing is distributing prasadam and telling people to chant Hare Krishna." They're not talking about Govinda Lilamrita or very high things. All they're doing is giving prasadam. What do you mean, only giving prasadam, only chanting the holy name? What kind of realization is that? It's ridiculous. We're doing what's been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, by our acharyas, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we have strong faith in that thing. Shriyan Sadhama Viguna Paradhana Swanusita. This is my seva. Let me do this thing. My service is not to find fault with others. That's the fault of the managers, that's the fault of the gurus, that's the fault of the senior devotees. Vishuddha Satya Guru, he can find fault with me. He's my Guru General. And we can actually, all of you can also find fault with me because you're all senior to me. But if we're not senior to someone, we shouldn't try to chastise them. If someone doesn't accept us as guru, I'm going off on the subject a little bit, but this is an important topic. One of the 10 offenses of the holy name is Ashradhani Vimukhe Pushangati Yashcho Pradesha Sivanama Aparadha. We shouldn't give instructions to someone who doesn't have faith in us. That's the definition of guru. Right there. Very simple. A very simple way. Guru is someone who has a disciple, and the disciple has faith in that person. That's guru. Simple thing. And you may be a harmonium guru or mridanga guru or whatever kind of teacher, but you have faith that this person can teach me something. And so you can learn from him. And if you don't have faith in that person, or if a student has no faith in you, don't speak to them. It's an offense. It's an aparad to speak to them. And so these people who want to go and solve all the problems of ISKCON, a very noble desire. There's so many problems in ISKCON because it's in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada disappeared. There's no more acharya whom everyone is following around and is respecting. Because there's no such person like it, then definitely there's going to be problems here. And so some people, very nobly, they want to solve all those problems. And they want to chastise, like Srila Prabhupada, they saw Prabhupada doing like that, so they'll also do like that. But if they don't have the adhikar, the qualification to do that, if they don't have the shakti, if they're not nindadi shunyarida, if they're not completely free from the mundane propensity to criticize others, then they won't have the shakti. If we don't have faith in them, then the only thing that will happen, upataya eva kopate, because they're not doing shuddhi smriti paramiti, they're not following shastra. Shastra says, don't speak to someone who doesn't have faith in you. So if you start speaking to people who don't have faith in you, you're doing aparad. And then the only result will be upataya eva kopate, you'll commit a big disturbance. You'll commit a disturbance in society, everyone will become disturbed, all instead of thinking about chanting Hare Krishna and the Bhagavatam and Krishna's pastimes and how can I serve the Vaishnavas and how can I see Vrindavan. Instead of thinking of those things, you start thinking about, yeah, you know what those Gurukul teachers did to this child, you know, they did this thing. And that. We start thinking of very horrible things of the material world. And we become disturbed, society becomes disturbed, and they become disturbed, their bhajan becomes disturbed. Sudha bhajanati koraman, they can't do pure bhajan because they're becoming involved in all these other things. This is Krishna's business to worry about. And it's Guru's business. And it's our business if Guru tells us. If we're a parent, if we're a teacher, if we're a Gurukula teacher, if we're a temple manager, a guru, a sannyasi, we have a responsibility to chastise the persons under us. If we don't chastise them, we'll take some of the reaction for what they do. So we shouldn't use this and go, and when someone, temple president comes and starts chastising, say, hey, Prabhu, you know, you shouldn't speak like that to me. I don't really have faith in you, and you're just committing aparad. It's a bogus thing. No, that's his seva. He should do that. And we should be respectful to him. Is that okay? It's a little bit of a long explanation of verse. You want to say that one? Srila Prabhupada repeat? Did Prabhupada repeat Radha Krishna Lila many times? I don't think so. But Prabhupada many times. How many times did he say you're not your body? Many, many times. Huh? He spoke so many times about it. So that's a vyasa. Prabhupada was repeating that thing over and over again because this is our adhikar. And we should look around and see what is the adhikar that people we're speaking to. If I were just to simply repeat over and over again to you, you're not your bodies, it might not be so effective, very frankly, because you've heard that many times. You're not new devotees, you're not new people. Although, at the same time, it's still beneficial for us to hear that. But at the same time, we can also hear something a little more. But for new people, for people who are brand new, this is the main thing we should emphasize over and over again. We can speak to them about upadis, sarvapadi vinirmukta, and how we have to give up designations, and how we're thinking we're this body. I'm an American, I'm a Frenchman, I'm an Indian, I'm a man, a woman, and this and that. These are very, very important things to speak about. We know because Prabhupada repeated them over and over again. Is that okay?
So the beginning was the right purpose. So the beginning was to finish the Upakama. Upakama would be like first step.
From the Upakama we can understand what is the audience.
Audience.
Also. For example, we do some publishing. We have some publishing work that we do. One of the main things that we do, when I'm trying to think of a book or a magazine or something, the first thing is we always think of our audience. If you know who you're speaking to, then you can give a message. If you're going and speaking to a college, if you're going and speaking to these children who are just here, you may speak to them in child language. But if you go to speak to a professor at the university, you wouldn't speak to him in the same way. He's a different type of person. It's not appropriate. So it's very, very important that we understand who our audience is. And Srila Prabhupada's audience was not Vedic scholars and pure Vaishnavas, people who knew Sanskrit and Bengali and that. His audience were Westerners, people who didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. Very clearly, that was his audience, and he was presenting Krishna consciousness in a way they could understand.
One time, Prabhupada came to Delhi, Hari Savivasi said personal sermon. And he was a gathering of nightlife member, very wealthy life member, and they welcomed Prabhupada in a very open way, all from India. Like, and Prabhupada came into the home very angry. You are not following Bhagavad Gita. You born in India. Bhagavad Gita, everybody was shocked. And Hari Savivasi was shocked. What's going to happen? And then they went to Prabhupada. It was a big assembly, you know, when he was in another room waiting, and Prabhupada was going back and forth, chanting Japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was very tall, but that intelligence so strong that you can make whole assembly focus in what he wants to speak, no? Hari Savi said, what is going to happen next? So Prabhupada went to the and said, I am Vyasasana, and started speaking, you are India nonsense because you are not following Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada was such a potency, he can gotten everybody, you know, into what was the main group of his preaching. You know?
And for that particular group, he spoke in that way. I think it was in Amsterdam.
Yes,
in Amsterdam, when Srila Prabhupada went there, you may have heard this story, they made a big Vyasasana for Srila Prabhupada very high up, which was a big mistake, because there were hippies who gathered, and they didn't like authorities, they didn't like people sitting on a higher place than them. And so the devotees had kirtan first, and everybody liked the kirtan very much at all. The hippies were dancing and everything. Then the kirtan finished and Srila Prabhupada started to speak. And the hippies in the audience started shouting at Srila Prabhupada. They became very angry. Hey, who are you? What are you doing trying to speak like this? And who the heck are you? And Prabhupada just stopped. And he said, they have kirtan. He said, they can't understand philosophy. And he didn't speak anything to them like that. The devotees in 26th Second Avenue, Prabhupada was allowing them to go to the ice cream parlor. The ice cream probably had eggs in it. They were taking that thing. And Prabhupada wasn't chastising him. But as he's speaking here in India, Prabhupada was shouting at them and telling them, you're calling them names and you're idiots.
Prabhupada was cursing the plane when they take ice cream. When the Prabhupada passed through the window, everybody's
like, hide. So Prabhupada was very, very expert speaking according to time, place, and circumstance. So this upakram, very important part of it is we have to understand what is the audience. Who is the audience for Srila Prabhupada's books? And I would go so far as to say basically today the whole world is the audience for Srila Prabhupada's books. Because there are some people who are not necessarily an audience for Srila Prabhupada's books. Someone who may, they still are in another sense, and I'll come to that in a moment. But people who read Bengali, people who read Sanskrit, they can read, it's not that they're lacking anything, they can read the works of Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Krishnadas Kavish Goswami. It's not that they can't become Krishna conscious if they don't read Srila Prabhupada's books. But I will say this, if they want to preach to people in the Western world, they should read Srila Prabhupada's books. And they should see how Srila Prabhupada is presenting things. Because Srila Prabhupada was in Shakti Veshavatar for that purpose. He didn't replace the Goswami literatures. But he came to give us an introduction to them. Is that okay? Yeah, so
this book. This is something basic that when you should be repeating in Yidam Mula a lot of times, it seems to me. Like these examples of big sannyasis.
Rupa Goswami, he's described to us as Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, Taparat Vinirmalam, Rishikena Shikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchita. That real service means that giving up upadis. When we speak about you're not your body, in effect, this is what we're saying. That this is a very simple way to say Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam. Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam is a little higher tech way of saying the same thing. It's the same point. Sometimes we may think, what is this? You're not your body, you're not your body, you're not your body. This is not really necessary for me. It is necessary, but what is also necessary is that we shouldn't just simply repeat like a parrot everything, but we should repeat with some realization. And we should see things from different angles of vision. We're not doing such a great... We're doing a service if we repeat. But it's not such a great service as in when we repeat with some realization. When we think about what the person has said. Srila Prabhupada said so many things. It's a service to repeat what Srila Prabhupada said. It's a very important service. But if we don't think about what Srila Prabhupada said, if we have no realization about what Srila Prabhupada said, then what is the value of it? And in some ways, it may even backfire. Because we see, if people have no realization, and they just keep repeating the same thing over and over again like a puppet, then what happens is people stop listening. They think, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times, I'm not interested in hearing this anymore. Yeah, I know that thing. And then it's no longer really a service, it's a disservice. Because people are not hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a service, we should do three things. Abhyasa, Manana, and Smarana. Ultimately, we want to come to this platform of Lila Smarana. The Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the first thing is Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. We have to practice. We have to clean the room. We have to sweep all the dirt out. And then if we keep doing that, then when the room becomes very nice and clean, then our mind becomes peaceful. And then we can start doing some of the activities that we're supposed to do in the room. The room is not meant, the purpose of the room is not for sweeping. The purpose of this room is for discussing philosophy. But if the room is so dirty, we can't think properly. So we have to sweep, and we have to keep sweeping. But finally, when the room is clean, then we can relax a little bit. Our minds can be a little peaceful and we can think. So we have to clear out all the nasty, dirty things that are coming into our mind. All the illicit desires, all the nasty things. We keep pushing those things out. And then after some time of abhyasa, then we come to manana. We can think a little bit. Why am I here? What is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's books? Why did Prabhupada emphasize these things so much? And we can start thinking about it from different angles of vision. I'm a blind person. And Gurudev kindly took me to the elephant and told me this is an elephant. And I felt it. But what did I feel? All I felt was the tail. Or all I felt was the side of the elephant. All I felt was the leg of the elephant. Because I can't see. My eyes are closed. I can't see properly. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. That eye of vision is a premi bhakta. He can see the whole elephant. But I'm going to go and make a big argument. Oh, you know, the elephant... He's like a rope, or he's like a wall, or he's like a column, or this or that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would like this analogy very much. So we should have some realization. It should go somewhat deeper, and that comes with manana. And then after some time of practicing and meditating, thinking, considering about the purpose of Guru and his teachings, then comes the platform of smarana. Sometimes it's said that smarana means marana. Remembering Krishna means death. When everything is dead, when all your material life is dead, we have so much hope in this world. But when you become hopeless, there's no more hope for sense gratification. All of us were walking around in the kirtan, we see, oh, I haven't seen that young lady before. Oh, maybe she's the one. Maybe she's my perfect partner. And the lady, she's also looking, maybe he's my perfect partner. We always, even though you've already been married 6 times and you suffered so terribly and you've been kicked in the face like anything, like a donkey, but still we have some hope in this material world. We have to become hopeless. We have to die. Our material life has to die. And when we're dead, then we become reborn like the phoenix. So from marana comes smarana. When we're dead and all of our material desires and all those things are dead, then we can begin to remember Krishna in a real way. And that will come in a natural way what is it? Name prasvatito hai rupa guna karma. From the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, comes everything. Krishna's rupa, guna, and lila. His form, his qualities, his past sense, everything will come from the holy name. But we just have to follow the practice. We have to do this thing. So, we need to hear this thing again and again, that we're not this body. Because we have some upadis. We have some designations. We have our mother, we have our son, we have our daughter, we have our friends. And these are upadis that we're hanging on someone. And Arjuna, he didn't want to fight. Krishna, when he began speaking the Gita, the first thing that he did is he brought him in between both armies, and he waved his arm, he pointed at both armies. And he said, just see, Arjuna, here's the enemy. And he pointed at both sides. Because both sides are the enemy of Arjuna. How so? Because this is your upadi, Arjuna. You think that you're the younger brother of Yudhisthira. You think that you're the grandson of Bhishma Dev. You think you have all these upadis. And Arjuna didn't want to fight. Because he felt, this would be worse if I kill my grandfather Bhishma Dev, if I kill my teacher Drona, all these people, then what's going to happen to me? What will my designation be? I'll lose part of myself. When our mother dies, part of us dies also. Because we no longer have that designation. I'm no longer the son of my mother. She's gone now. That was one of my upadis. And a part of me, a part of how I identify myself is gone. Because the conditioned soul in the material world, he gravitates to matter. He wants to identify himself. But to give identity to himself, he looks to matter and he looks to bodily relationships. These are upadis. But sarvupadi vinir muktam, we have to give all these up. And this is not a cheap thing. It's a very, very deep thing. And these upadis can even come for people on a very advanced platform. My Guru Maharaj, he spoke this thing. Guru Govinda Maharaj said this thing. I'll just repeat what he said. He would say, he said, don't you know who I am? I'm temple president, Prabhupada disciple, GBC guru, demon. He would say like that sometimes. He can say those kind of things. He was a GBC member, he was a Prabhupada disciple, and a sannyasi, an elderly person. He can speak like that. But his point was, is that even at that platform, we may also have upadis. We may think, as I am a GBC, don't you know who I am? I'm a senior devotee. I'm a disciple of Guru Govinda Maharaj. I'm a disciple of this Maharaj. I'm a disciple of that. I'm a senior devotee. I know so many shlokas. I'm a very advanced brahmachari. I'm a this, I'm a that. These are also upadis. And if we understand the essence of what Srila Prabhupada is teaching, we should speak over and over again, you're not your body, in this way. Not that we have to say these same words over and over again, but we should tell devotees, give up upadis. This is a very, very deep thing. It's not a cheap, small thing. It's a very profound thing. Is that okay? Guruji? So, I'd like to say a few more words about hearing. We spoke something about the difference between reading and hearing. And this is a very important subject matter about hearing. This is a subject which is found again and again throughout our Vedic literatures. This is not ABC philosophy. It's not XYZ either. But if it falls in the alphabet, maybe it's DEF. It's a little bit higher subject matter. To the common people, we may emphasize, you just read the books, everything is there, you can associate, and that's a fact. And anybody who's repeating the book, then they're giving you Prabhupada, and that's a fact. If you're hearing something from someone who's speaking, or they're repeating what Srila Prabhupada said, that's the same as hearing from Srila Prabhupada in some way. But Jiva Goswami, he gives a little deeper conception about that in Bhakti Sandarbha. He describes in Anucheda 203, Vakta sarago nirago dvivida parikirtita sarago lalupakami taduktam hinna samspriset. He said there are two kinds of speakers, the saragvakta and the niragvakta. Vakta. That speaker who's saragvakta, he has material desires. And the niragvakta, who has no material desires. They're repeating the same thing. They're speaking the same thing. We have a gun. And we have two guns. The gun's exactly the same. One gun has blanks in it. The other gun has bullets in it. They're both M16s. And we shoot, and it makes a big noise with the blank gun. It makes a big, big noise, and everybody becomes very frightened. But nothing happens, because it's just blanks. But the other gun, that has bullets in it, they pierce the heart. So we want to hear from that speaker who's a real-life speaker. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about this many, many times. A very, very important thing. Many times he would tell the story about the guru whose the mother brought the child one day to this teacher and said, "You please instruct this child not to eat sweets." And the teacher said, "You come back next week and I'll tell you." Okay? So then the mother came next week and the teacher, "Don't eat sweets, nonsense, they're very bad for you." Spoke like that. So then later on the woman, she asked the teacher, "Why you didn't just tell him this in the beginning?" And he said, "Well, because last week I was eating sweets. So I couldn't speak that thing. I had no realization about it." So we should speak what we've realized. We should repeat. When we speak, there's a deep science to this thing. There's a difference between the Sarag Vakta, the speaker with material desires like myself, and the Nirag Vakta, like Srila Prabhupada. There's a vast difference. Although we may repeat what Srila Prabhupada has said, and although many people may come and touch our feet and clap their hands and say, "Oh, Babuji, very nice talk, very, very good, this thing and that thing," there's a vast difference between our speaking and their speaking. The Nirag Vakta, that speaker, his speech is Sabda Brahma. It's a realized speech. Whereas our speech, it's not realized. And there's some difference to it. So Jiva Goswami says that this Sarag Vakta, their speakers are lusty and greedy, and their words, they don't touch the heart. He says, Upadesham karoti eva na pariksham karoti cha aparikshayo parishtam yat loka nasaya tad bhavet. He says in the Sarag Vakta, he doesn't study carefully to determine what is the truth. And he's a passionate person. Passionate means that he wants some fame, he wants some prestige. He wants to be like Guru. So even though he doesn't have so much qualification, he wants to tell everybody, even though he hasn't studied very deeply, he can't quote Shastra, Shruti Smriti Puranadi, Pancharatna Vidyanvina, Kaintika Hari Bhakta, Upataeva Kopate. It just creates ultimately disturbance in society. And I can give you a simple example of that. If someone preaches and they never quote Shastra, it'll create a disturbance in society. Because what they're preaching, they're giving a message. They may be saying over and over again, "You're not your body, and you should surrender to Krishna, and love of Godhead is the ultimate goal." And they may say everything nice, but they're also giving another message. And the message is that Shastra is not so important. In a subtle way, that message is being given. So maybe we can't wear videshis, we can't pronounce the Sanskrit very nicely, when we have to write it down, when we have to read it, but we should quote Shastra. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that many, many times. We should quote authority. It's a very important thing.
Please. In the liver, the same measure, but when you are pure, that effect, the heart to change, like Prabhupada sometimes say, "I'm not Sanskrit scholar, but Prabhupada changed the word, makes them many devotees, the Bhagavad Gita as it is." So that analogy is pertinent to mention in this situation. It's like, for example, two orders, that they are similar, but inside one is sweet, the other one is not sweet. The orders are the same, but you taste it. One is full of rasa and the other is full of rasa. So it's the same example, that's an analogy. So the real
scene
is that Bhagavata devotee affects and transforms the quality
and
conscience of those who are listening to
it. That's important. And Jiva Goswami is saying, what will be the result? If you spoke, you're speaking something, but you haven't studied it properly and you haven't realized it, he says, loka nasaya tadbhavet. It brings about destruction of the people. And it'll bring about the destruction of our society if devotees are speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam without proper qualification. He says about the Nirad Vakta, the speaker without material desires, kama krodari yuktopi kripanopi vishadavan shubha vikashamayati savakta paramo guru. That person, he's the best of spiritual masters, the best of gurus, who doesn't have any material desires. And when someone who has all kinds of material desires hears that person and is able to give them up, that is the Niradvakta, the person without material desires. He's the person we want to hear. This is from Bhaktisiddhartha Jiva Goswami. No, he's quoting Brahma Vivarti Purana. It's in Bhaktisiddhartha Anucheta 203. So this is a real speaker. Now, a question arises. If this is the real speaker, you may say, okay, Madhavananda, what's going on? What are you doing up here speaking like this? What are we doing? You know, what are we doing having Bhagavatam class? We could cite so many different examples in Prabhupada's books also. Prabhupada says that the person who should speak on Srimad Bhagavatam is free from material desires. They're a self-realized person, they're learned in all the Vedas. That's a person who should speak in the Bhagavatam. So then, what should we do? Should we just stop the Bhagavatam class every day? No. There's some purport behind it. And we should understand. Yes, we have to understand this thing. This is a very, very deep subject matter. Very nice topic. When the pujari goes on the altar and he's doing artik, what's going on at that time? He's associating with the deity. Krishna's right there. Krishna, the deity is Krishna. And he's associating with the deity. He's a personal associate of the Lord. Is that really what's happening? It may be happening sometimes when Srila Prabhupada goes on the altar of some very elevated Vaishnava. But does it mean that everybody else who can't do like that, they shouldn't go on the altar? Because that's what it means to go on the altar. It's a very elevated thing. We should, before we do puja, we should do, we should do achan, we should purify ourselves. We should also do bhuta shuddhi. We should purify ourselves, our conscience, by giving, who am I? Naham vipro na charanar paiti naipi vaishana sudro. Our Acharya's Bhaktivinoda Thakur was given that we should chant this verse. Gopi bharta hupada kamali or dasa dasa anudasa. I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. That's who I am. And that's how I can do this service. I'm not Madhavananda Das from America who's the son of this person and this and that. I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. That gives me samadhi car to do that. If I'm thinking like that. But am I thinking like that? Therefore, when we do our artik, before we bathe and dress the deities, before we do artik, what do? We worship our Gurudev. We take his blessings. Because he's engaging his disciples in doing that thing. He's doing that service. We're just doing it on his behalf. He's, what is it in the verse in Guru Vashtaka? That's it. Shivigrahara dana nitanana shingaratan mandira marjana yuktashya bhaktams. He's engaging his devotees. Yuktashya bhaktams chani unjatopi vande goroshi charanaravinda. He's doing that work. We shouldn't go on the altar and say, okay, Krishna, here I am. I'm your Nityaparikar. I'm your eternal associate. And I'm a gopi. That's sahajya. When we go on the altar, we're thinking, my Gurudev is doing this. I'm just the instrument of my Gurudev. I have no qualification. So, giving class in Srimad Bhagavatam is another kind of deity service. I also have no qualification to do this service because Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. But I'm doing artik. But on this altar, it's a little bit different. The deity has a form of a book instead of the form of Krishna with the flute. It's a form of a book. But again, I'm remembering my Gurudev. And just like when I go on the altar and we worship the deity, what do we offer to the deity? Do you say, oh Krishna, today I have something really nice for you. I have some Rolling Stones records. Let me offer you this and let me give you a handphone and some Levi's like they're doing recently. Let me give you those things. No, we don't do that. What are the things that we offer? We offer the things that our Gurudev has told us to offer. The things that our Gurudev has given us. Yes. We offer the dupe, the deep, In Naivedya, we offer the different things according to His instructions. And so when we worship this deity of Srimad Bhagavatam, we worship in the same way. We offer the artic with the ingredients that He's given us. And what are those ingredients? Those ingredients are the things that He's given us, His words, and the words of Shastra. We just repeat those things. We're speaking for our own benefit. Gorgamanda Maharaji used to say that kirtan is another name for shravan. He said the function of Sadguru is to speak Harikatha, and the function of the disciple is to hear. And then after he hears, what does he do? He repeats. But his repetition is not the same as his guru speaking. His repetition, his kirtan, is actually shravan. He's hearing. And he's purifying himself. Prabhupada used to say so many times, nimitta matra bhava savi sachin. Quoted, nimitta matra bhava savi sachin. Krishna tells Arjuna, you just be my instrument.
Yes.
And that's what a disciple means. There's a nice pramana in this connection. In the 10th canto, chapter 40, text 7, he describes Bahu Murtika Murtikam, that Krishna is one, but he becomes many. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Chinmayinam Naratvi Praikam Abhipraitam. He says that Krishna is one, but he becomes many. In the same way, the holy name is one. Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputra Matra Swarupam. I've gotten the holy name from my Gurudev. That name is one. He's Adhikar for chanting that name. He can chant Krishna Nam. But from that one name that he's giving, he gives that to me, then I repeat that again and again. And by my repetition, that repeating is a kind of echo of the name that he gave. And just as Krishna is one, but he becomes many in the Ras Lila, so Krishna is also one in the form of the holy name, but he becomes many. He's one when our Guru gives us the holy name, and he becomes many in our repetition because we're repeating what our Gurudev has given. So when we speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, we do like that. And if we repeat, then there's some benefit. But at the same time, there's some difference between our speaking and the speaking of the Niragvakta. We should understand that. And we should understand it's a very important principle. It's an important principle of hearing. Hearing is very, very important thing. The Sabda Brahma is a way to penetrate the heart. Reading is good. And if we can't associate in any other way, then we should also associate through reading. But we want to hear. There's an amusing story in this connection. Once there was one man who had to go for some business trip. So he'd gotten into some argument with his wife. It happens very often in Grihastha Ashram. And they weren't speaking to each other for 1 week. The husband hadn't said anything to the wife, and the wife hadn't said anything to the husband. They were very angry with each other. They were doing their duties. The wife was cooking for the husband, and he's going out and working and things, bringing home some money. But they weren't talking to each other. And finally, the man, one day, he had to go for some business trip. So he had to give some message to his wife. So he decided he would write a note. So he wrote a note, "My dear wife, tomorrow morning I have to catch the 7 o'clock train. So you please get up early at 5 o'clock and cook for me. And then wake me up at 6 o'clock so I can eat and I can catch the train on time." So he gave that note. And the lady, she was very happy. Women are soft-hearted. When she got that thing, he broke his anger before I did. She was happy like that. So early the next morning, like a very dutiful wife, she got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. She cooked very nicely for the husband. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, when she was supposed to wake the husband up, she went to his bed and she took a big piece of cardboard and a marker and she wrote on it, "Wake up." And she put that paper at the foot of the bed and she sat there next to the bed. 6 o'clock, 6:15, 6:30, 6:45. Finally, the man at 7:30, the sun's beating through the window and it's coming on his face, and he wakes up and he looks at the clock. It's 7:30, his train left a half an hour ago. His wife is supposed to wake him up at 6 o'clock. He's very, very angry. He started shouting at her, "Oh, you budmas, nonsense rascal. What are you? I told you to wake me up at 6 o'clock. What are you doing?" And she was a very simple lady. She said, "My dear husband," she said, "you wrote me some note. You gave me some instruction like that. I just did the same thing. You didn't speak anything to me, so I've also written some note. See, right here." So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he said, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaurachandra Bole, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son. This sound vibration should be there. And there's some difference between the sound vibration and that Premi Bhakti. When we hear Srila Prabhupada's kirtan on the tape, it's such an amazing thing. There's a special quality to that kirtan, which is different. Jiva Goswami, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, he describes two types of chanting. He says there's kevala naam, common chanting, anyone can chant. In Krishneti yashigiri tvam manasadriyeta, Rupa Goswami says anyone who's chanting, we should respect them. But he says there's another kind of chanting, and that's sneha samyukta naam. That's chanting with love, with affection. And that's real naam. That's nama shrestam manamapi sachi putra matra surupam. When Srila Prabhupada came to 26th Second Avenue, when he came to the park, there, what was he doing? Anyone could have done that thing. Allen Ginsberg was already doing it. And before Srila Prabhupada went, there was one, there were at least two other Vaishnavas. Their names are escaping my mind right now. I have some books by them. One of them is Mahanamrata Brahmachari. He went to America in the 1930s and 40s. And he spoke in over 200 universities, wearing dhoti and kurta, saffron, talking to people about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Holy Name. Srila Prabhupada was not the first to go to America. Sometimes people say Christopher Columbus discovered America. But actually the Vikings were there long before that. The Native American Indians were there long before that. But generally they say Christopher Columbus discovered America. In a similar way, sometimes we say Srila Prabhupada was the first one in America. He was the first in one sense. But in another sense, so many people were there before him. This Mahanamrata Brahmachari, he was preaching. And he's speaking basically the same kind of thing. Some little differences are there. But he's speaking about the Maha Mantra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bhagavad Gita, and so many things like that. And Allen Ginsberg, who was a very famous person, he was speaking and he was chanting the Maha Mantra. But how many devotees came from them? How many people we heard about who came to Krishna consciousness from them? Nobody. Allen Ginsberg was a very famous person, but nobody became a devotee from his preaching. Mahanamrata Brahmachari spoke in over 200 universities, but no one became a devotee. But Srila Prabhupada went and sat down in the park. And what did he do? He just started chanting Hare Krishna. But his chanting had a special quality to it. Sneha Samyukta. So there's a world of difference between that kind of chanting and our kind of chanting. We should understand that point. So I'm going to read a little bit further on into the introduction, and we'll come to a very controversial subject. Okay, I'll just touch on a few things. I don't like to read so much here. I'd like to request everybody, I'll remind you again before we leave, to read over the preface and the introduction tonight. That'll be your reading assignment tonight. If you please read the preface and the introduction, and then if you can come and have, if you have any questions or some discussion, we can have some time for that in the first part of the day tomorrow. I'm not going to read every single thing because I don't think that's the function of a seminar or a discussion or a talk. We should have our own understanding, our own realizations about it, but it should be based on his points. So Maharaj says, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has written, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. Actually, the introduction begins with this, and then I think it's chapter 2. There's like three chapters in this book which begin with the same words. Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan are not of this material world. Maharaj emphasizes this again and again and again. The same particular sentence. They are in the spiritual world. This one line is a very, very important line. An explanation is required. So then Maharaj goes on to explain about how rare bhakti is. And he cites several verses, one of which is from the Bhagavatam 6th canto. Muktinam apisiddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koti shapi mahamuni. That out of many millions and millions of persons, hardly one Krishna Bhakta can be found. So such a Krishna Bhakta is a very, very rare person. So this Krishna Bhakta is a very rare thing. He's not from this material world. And bhakti is also not from this material world. And Bhagavan is not from this material world. These three things, bhakti, bhakti, and Bhagavan, are not of this material world. What does that mean? It's a very profound thing. So Maharaj begins to speak about some things which are a little controversial. read this. Very interesting. Bhakti is not the vritti, the natural faculty or occupation of the tattvastha jiva shakti, the marginal living entities. Also, it is not the vritti, the bahirangamaya shakti, the external material energy. Rather, bhakti is a vritti of Bhagavan's internal energy, the sarup shakti. Because of this, bhakti, Bhagavan, and bhakti are not available here in the material world. Jiva Goswami has said in Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheda 1.1, this is the first thing he says in Bhakti Sandarbha. This is the foundation of Bhakti Sandarbha. Paramatma vaibhava ganane chatatastha shakti rupanam chideka rasanam api. He says that the tattvastha jivas are vaibhava emanations of the Paramatma. Since bhakti is a vritti of the sarup shakti, it is not available to the tattvastha jivas who are the vaibhava emanations of Paramatma. For this reason, it is said that bhakti, Bhagavan, and bhakti do not belong to the material world. So, it's an interesting subject. At the risk of beginning getting kicked out of ISKCON, seriously, we're going to say a few things. But I don't think they're controversial things so much. Actually, it's a very simple subject. If we're simple, it's a very simple thing. But if we're complicated, it becomes very complicated. In ISKCON, there's been a very big controversial subject. Does the jiva originate in the spiritual world, or does the jiva come in the material world? Here Maharaj is saying that the jivas in this material world, they're Paramatma Vaibhava. They come from the Paramatma. And the Paramatma, as Srila Prabhupada describes, we in a footnote that we have here in the book, in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Prabhupada says, the Paramatma manifestation is a temporary, all-pervasive aspect of the Kiradakashai Vishnu. This Paramatma's manifestation is not eternal in the spiritual world. And the jivas in this material world, Jiva Goswami is saying, they're Paramatma Vaibhava. They're coming from Paramatma. They're not coming from the spiritual world. So this is a controversial thing in our society. I'd like to speak very directly about this to all of you and not mince about words. And I think what we'll have to say won't be disturbing to anyone. A very simple thing. Why, first of all, I like to stick basically to philosophy, but in this case we're going to divert a little bit and speak something about ISKCON history, although philosophy is a nicer way to speak on these subjects. Why is this subject a controversial topic? If we analyze it, why should it be? Who really cares whether we come from the spiritual world or we come from this place or that place? There was some history behind this thing. After Srila Prabhupada left this world, some devotees went to one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers and they were asking him some philosophical questions. Prior to that, Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in America, many times, on a number of occasions, Prabhupada told the devotees that we came from the spiritual world. And at least one lecture, Prabhupada said that we came from the spiritual world, and even if you go back there, you can fall back here again. Although Krishna seems to say something very different in the Gita. Prabhupada spoke about this thing many times, like not so many times, but a number of times. On the other hand, if we won't get in trouble reading Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says something a little different in his books. Prabhupada says in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, the conclusion is that no one falls from the spiritual world. Prabhupada says it. This is Prabhupada's words in his books. The conclusion is no one falls. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam 3.7.9 purport, he says, according to Vishnu Purana, Bhagavad Gita, and all other Vedic literatures, the living entities are generated from the tattvastha energy of the Lord. Again, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he says, in the Shruti mantra it is stated that the absolute whole of Brahman is the ultimate source of everything. Everything emanates from him, meaning the living entities that emanate from Brahman, not from the spiritual world. Again, in Bhagavatam 4.35, Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that the origin of all life is a bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada said two different things. I'm not going to try to explain why Srila Prabhupada said. The last one is from Bhagavatam 4.35. Similarly, in Isopanishad, page 16, ninth paragraph, I don't know which printing this is, But Prabhupada says the all-pervading feature of the Lord, which exists in all circumstances of waking and sleeping, as well as in potential states, and from which the Jeev Shakti, living force, is generated as both conditioned and liberated souls, is known as Brahman. The living entities come from Brahman, they come from Tattvastha, Prabhupada says many times. But Prabhupada, in many lectures, he said a different thing. So, it's how do we understand? There's two different statements from Srila Prabhupada. After Srila Prabhupada left, some of Prabhupada's disciples went to one very elevated Vaishnava, who's a very dear godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, and they asked him some questions. And that godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, he said, no, the living entities, they don't come from the spiritual world. None of our acharyas say like that. At that time in ISKCON, there was some politics between some of the ISKCON leaders and this particular godbrother, Srila Prabhupada. And some of the devotees who were neophyte on the ISKCON side, and some of the devotees were also neophyte, perhaps, who had gone to this elevated godbrother, Srila Prabhupada. In any case, both sides made it into an issue. Not because of the philosophy, but because my guru knows better than you, and because I'm going and hearing from this person, I know better than you know. And they made it an issue like that. And people became very angry. And they said, no, Prabhupada says like this, and you're offending Srila Prabhupada. And they emphasized some of the things that Srila Prabhupada said, not the statements in the books, but the quoted statements Prabhupada said in his lectures and sometimes his letters and things. Again, later on, my Guru Maharaj spoke a certain thing, Gorgavinda Maharaj and some devotees again, because they wanted to emphasize that my guru, Amar Guru, Jagat Guru, he's better than all your other gurus. He knows something you don't know. They use this topic as some way to beat people on the head. Really, it's a non-issue. Who really cares about it? I developed a little story about this. It's a little anecdote, which I made up. Excuse me. Once there were two little boys. One little boy was 4 years old, and the other little boy was 5 years old. One day, the four-year-old boy went to his mother, and he said, Mommy, how did I get here? And the mother, she's thinking, he's a four-year-old boy, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell him about sex life and this thing and that? She said, well, one day, we were sitting in the back porch, and a big bird brought you, like that. And the little boy said, oh, okay. And then later on, the same day, the five-year-old boy went to the father, and he said, Daddy, how did I come here? How did I get here? And the father thought the same thing the mother thought about the four-year-old. the father thought, what can I tell him? He thought, well, one day we were digging a hole in the backyard and we found you underneath a rock. You and your brother. He said like that. He told some. In every culture of the world, there's stories like this that people tell. In Europe and America, they used to say the stork brought you one big bird like that. So later on, the two brothers, they come together and they start having a discussion. And the four-year-old says, hey, you know, I was talking to mother, and you know what mother told me? She said that a big bird brought me. And that's how we came here. A big bird brought us. And the other brother said, hey, that's nonsense. That's bogus. Huh? Daddy told me that we came from underneath a rock in the backyard when he was digging a hole. And then the four-year-old said, no, that's you. Mom told me. And then the two started getting in a quarrel. And they start hitting each other. And then suddenly one of them picks up a rock. And he hit the other one on the head. And he killed his brother. So what does it mean? The whole argument has no meaning. The only thing that had any meaning was that one killed the other one. And it became very horrible. A very tragic thing. If they just grow up, very naturally they'll understand where they came from. There's no reason to fight. So this is my humble understanding about this subject matter. Let me just finish the analogy. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, you cannot understand this subject matter as a conditioned soul. When you become realized, then you'll understand. How can we understand what is a tattvastha? How did I come here? How did I come from the spiritual world? What is my relationship with... You can't understand, but it's not important.
Prabhupada used to use the sample of the
Arya. Yes. That's the important thing. We heard once we'll say his name, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, some senior Vaishnavas went to him and they said, Maharaj, you know, he's a disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, senior Vaishnava. He said, Maharaj, you know, there's some controversy in the Vaishnava community. And some people are saying that the jiva falls from the spiritual world and some people are saying that they don't fall. And what do you think about this? And everybody's waiting with bated breath to see what the Maharaj is going to say. And Maharaj is very simple. His reply was, he said, I don't think that this is a subject matter that's worthy of dividing the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. I appreciate that point very much. Whether we came from Tathasya, we came from the spiritual world, as Prabhuji said, who cares? The point is, we should get out. And it's not a valid discussion, it's not a valid thing to quarrel about. If someone wants to emphasize in their preaching the same thing that Srila Prabhupada preached, that we came from the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada said that. What's the harm in that? Why should someone find fault with that? Or if on the other hand, someone wants to repeat Srila Prabhupada's words in his books, and the words of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, I can read you something Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma. I don't want to offer a conclusion to any of you about this, and very frankly, I really don't care what your conclusion is. If you want to believe one thing or the other thing, I'm not going to lose any sleep at night at all. It's not going to disturb me one little bit. I really don't care what people think about this subject. It's a complete non-issue to me. But I would encourage one thing, or six things, that when you analyze this, you should consider in six different ways. What was the audience? What is the upakram that's being spoken to? Shankaracharya, he came, he's Lord Shiva, and he spoke a certain thing because there's a certain audience. Shaktivesh means that person is empowered to give a certain thing to a certain group of people at a certain time and place. So, if we're going to consider Srila Prabhupada's statements, and he said something sometimes in letters and in discussions and lectures in the United States. He said sometimes the jiva falls from the spiritual world. And other times he says in his books, he says, according to Vishnu Purana, Bhagavad Gita, and all of the Vedic literatures, the living entities come from Tathasta. If we're going to consider these two seemingly contradictory type of statements, we should use this. Jiva Goswami is telling us. We should analyze these things according to this. And you should come to your own conclusion, but you should think about it. This thinking process is a very important thing. So we'll read a few other statements about why this thing is a little controversial in other people. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says in Tattva Vivek, in chapter 2, text 4, he says, it should be understood that the jiva soul is neither produced of this material world nor created in the transcendental world. They are originated from the tattvasya, the marginal line between the transcendental and mundane spheres. Similarly, in Jiva Dharma, chapter 15, Bhaktivinoda says, Krishna tattvasya shakti hoite jiva, atayeva jivera svabhava o tattvasya. The jivas emanate from the tattvasya shakti of Sri Krishna. Similarly, their nature is also tattvasya Krishna. And he gives a very elaborate explanation in chapter 15, in a conversation between Brajanath and the Babaji, about the source of the jivas, which is interesting. We can read something about it right now. He says that from his Krishna form in Braj, Krishna manifests all the chit entities. In one place in Jiva Dharma later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one discussion, Brajanath is asking the Babaji, he's saying that, can Maya cover the chit shakti? And the answer is no. That's Mayavad. If you're to say that the illusory energy can cover the living entities in the spiritual world, that's Mayavad philosophy. Because these are the chit entities. And just they're the same nature as Krishna. Just as Krishna can't be covered over by Maya, they also can't be. From his Baladev form, his Sesha Tattva, he manifests the Nitya Mukta Jivas, who are associates that render service in eight ways to Lord Krishna, the Sesha Tattva. Again, becoming Sankarshan, Sesha Rup, he manifests eight types of eternal associates to render service eight ways to Sesha Narayan. Mahavishnu, in incarnation of Sankarshan, becoming situated in the Jiva Shakti as a supersoul, manifests the living entities of the material world. All the jivas coming from Mahavishnu are prone to Maya. Until they attain the shelter of the Vladini Shakti, the chit world, by the mercy of the Lord, they are prone to be defeated by Maya. So many statements are there like that. In Brihad Arandaka Upanishad, this discussion is given also about the Paramatma Vaibhav Jiva, which Gurgananda Maharaj is speaking about in the beginning of Machamit Spindava. Itagne kudra vishvulinga vyucharantyevam evasmadyatmanaha sarve prana sarve lokaha sarve devaha sarvani bhutani vyucharanti. As innumerable sparks emanate from a fire, Similarly, all the jivas, with their particular characteristics, emanate from Paramatma, along with the devatas, planets, animate and inanimate beings. They all come from Paramatma. They're the Paramatma Vaibhav Jiva. So Maharaj is making the point here that the living entities in this material world, bhakti is not their nature, because bhakti comes from the spiritual world. The living entities in this world, they're coming from Paramatma. But Paramatma is not the source of bhakti. Bhakti doesn't come through them. So this is a very deep philosophy, very postgraduate subject matter. He goes on, he says, Tatastha jivas are those who abuse their minute independence and come here to the material world. This material world is a manifestation of the Maya Shakti, the illusory energy. Therefore, bhakti has no place here in the material world. Bhakti is not the purpose of the material world. Bhakti is the purpose of the spiritual world. It's not the purpose for which this material universe was created. He says, therefore, bhakti has no place in the material world. Bhakti is a britti. I always say britti. This is why we put the Sanskrit for it. Britti means the source of, the cause of, bhakti is not the britti. Bhakti is a britti of Krishna's Ladini Shakti. It comes from the Ladini Shakti, in the spiritual world. The parinam, the transformation and manifestation of the Tatastha Shakti, is the Jiva Jagat, or the realm of the Jivas. The parinam of the Maya Shakti is the Jada Jigat, the material world. Similarly, the parinam of the Antaranga Shakti, the manifestation, meaning, of the Maya Shakti, the manifestation of the Maya Shakti is Jada Jigat. Jada Jagat, this material universe. This comes from the Maya Shakti. But the Ladini Shakti, the Antarangi Shakti, the parinama of that is the spiritual world, Bhagavad Dham. In the spiritual world, Bhagavan has unlimited forms, unlimited leelas, and unlimited associates known as parikars. So bhakti, being the britti, the Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy of the Lord, is only available in the Chit Jagat, the spiritual world. It is not available here in the material world. It's a very very elevated subject. So these subject matters, sometimes they seem like a little controversial, even sometimes people become disturbed by them. If they become disturbed by them, it means probably they, quite frankly, they don't have a qualification to hear about it. Mm-hmm. Better don't speak about it. But this is what Jiva Goswami is saying. This is what the Upanishads is saying. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. It's not something Bhaktivinoda Maharaj made up. It's not his philosophy. He's just repeating what our previous acharyas have said and what Shastra says. It doesn't mean that people are wrong or bad, or even they can't be very great devotees without understanding these things. We shouldn't disturb people. But at the same time, these things are there. Prabhupada says these things in his books. And we have a right. I have a right to read Srila Prabhupada's books. I have a right to quote Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada says in his books, the conclusion is that no one falls. And he says that all the Shastras describe that the Jivas come from Tatastha Shakti. Now, how someone wants to reconcile that with Prabhupada's other statements, that's an individual thing. It's none of my business. We don't have the position. We transfer Dharma Vigunas, Paradharma Samusita. Our position is not to inform everybody what Srila Prabhupada meant. We all have a right to that thing. We all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And if Srila Prabhupada said something in his books, we have a right to repeat that thing. We have a right to think that thing. And we also have a right to repeat what he said to his devotees. So Maharaj goes on, bhakti is in the spiritual world, and Krishna as the Supreme Lord is engaged there in loving dealings. The spiritual world is a place of variegatedness. The devotees reciprocate with Krishna there through dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurja, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. Bhagavan and bhakta are engaged in loving reciprocation. Krishna is the embodiment of all rasas, mellows, akila rasamrita murti. He is rasika shekhar and rasamoya, full of rasa. Therefore, bhakti is there in the spiritual world. It is available with the associates of Krishna. This mayak brahmanda, illusory world, is not the place of bhakti. So I don't want to get into so many things that we can't digest so quickly. Do you want to add any comments, Prabhuji? Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Only one thing. This book is available here?
Yes. We have it at the mini market for the low, low price of only 400 rupees. You can buy the hardbound deluxe edition, which Mataji has. The Rishikananda, who is our salesperson, he arranged some sale on it, which is like 60% off, a very big reduction. So if you want to get a copy, I think this one's even cheaper than that. I think this is a couple hundred rupees or 200 and something, yeah. But it doesn't have an index in the back, it doesn't have the nice pictures. I like the indexes very much. But for traveling, this is very nice.
You may have this here, Gopal, do you?
Yeah, we have a table in the main market.
And you are thinking to put on go to Inamara group with CD form, like your T-shirt and boots?
Yeah, something. So.
What is the meaning of Artabala group?
Of which?
Artavada.
Yeah. That means the general meaning of the person's giving. The author's declaration of intent. Yeah, what he says, Artavada. What he declares himself.
Artavada.
Yeah, what he says himself. What is Prabhupada's purpose in his books? You can quote, as I was doing earlier, I was citing this statement from Daksha. And you can say, Prabhupada's books say that you should just enjoy material life as much as you can. And that, you know, what is a necessity is no necessity. It takes sannyas, no necessity to renounce anything. That's what Prabhupada's books say. But what does Prabhupada say about his books? You're taking something out of context. There's so many things you could take out of context from Srila Prabhupada's books. You should understand Prabhupada's books by Srila Prabhupada, but this Artavada also, by what Prabhupada himself says. Sometimes it amazes me when I personally, I'm not good to use myself as an example, but I think it's an example we can maybe relate to something, so I'll use myself. I came to Krishna consciousness in 1982, and when I joined the society, all that I heard about was Srila Prabhupada. I joined the Los Angeles, and people said, this is Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada offered obeisances here, and Prabhupada sat here in this Vyasasan, and Prabhupada would go and walk in Shivadi Hills Park, and Prabhupada would go and on the beach, and he would talk to Bhakti Sukhdamana Maharaj and other devotees, and we would go every day as new bhaktas to the places where Prabhupada was walking, and we would walk in the same places, and we always heard everything about Srila Prabhupada. And we emphasized Srila Prabhupada so much in our society, and it's a very, very important thing that we should do. I think sometimes it's a little bit like we can relate perhaps to Srinivasacharya. When Srinivasacharya, shortly after he was born, he heard all about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And wherever he would go, the devotees would tell him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, and he danced here, and he did this here, and that there, and Gadadhar Pandit did this here, and Lord Nityananda did that. But Srinivasacharya never met Lord Chaitanya. Wherever he would go, he'd always hear about him.
He has so much link with Prabhupada. When I meet him for the first time, no faith, and please appear to say, hey, Guru Maharaj, I could meet on his day. He could read me. He said, he's a Prabhupada disciple. You remember?
So, we can feel some relationship in a way like that with Srinivasacharya, how he was feeling so much separation from Mahaprabhu. We're always hearing about Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu just left just a few years before. So those of us who came to Krishna consciousness a few years ago, we went to hear from Vishuddha Satyaprabhu and other senior devotees who had association with Srila Prabhupada. And wherever we go, this is Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada walked here, Prabhupada did this, and Prabhupada did that. And we keep Srila Prabhupada in the center. And Prabhupada wanted that himself. That's very, very important. Srila Prabhupada himself became the glue, which that he said, which holds together ISKCON. And he did certain things which even some of his godbrothers didn't understand, such as implementing daily Guru Puja and insisting that all the devotees go every day to Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. By doing that, even though it's not a traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava thing, you go to the temples of the Goswamis, you don't see them worshipping Rupa Goswami, a picture on the altar like that. Now at Radha Damodar Temple, there's some things they're doing for money, but that's another subject matter. But traditional temples in Vrindavan, They don't put the guru on the temple because it's on the altar because there's two gurus. There's Samasthi Guru and Vyasthi Guru. Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Ar Goswami Janas, and Srila Prabhupada, they're Vyasthi Guru. They're individual manifestations of Guru, just like individual rays of the sun. But Krishna is Samasthi Guru. He's the sum total of all gurus. He's like the sunshine, which is emanating all the sun rays. So everyone can go to the temple and see Samasthi Guru. The temple is for everyone. It's for Krishna. And therefore, that's our traditional Gaudiya system. The temple, we don't worship the guru in the temple. We worship Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada did a different thing. He said that every day we should have Guru Puja in the temple, and we should do that. By doing that, everyone comes together in ISKCON. Prabhupada is the glue, the adhesive, which brings everyone together. But one thing I find a little amazing, and just say in my own personal experience, my objective realization, whatever, coming to this society, I like it very much. The senior devotees have emphasized Srila Prabhupada's presence in his books, Srila Prabhupada's presence in his deity, and his movement and distribution of books and Prabhupada's instructions. But one thing I find that no one emphasizes, and that is that Srila Prabhupada can also come in another form. We don't like to speak so much about that. But what if one day there's a knock on the door and you go open the door and Srila Prabhupada's standing there and he says, can I come inside? And you look at him and say, hey, you don't look like Srila Prabhupada to me. Where were you born? Oh, I was born in Hong Kong. Ah, you can't be Srila Prabhupada. And slam the door in his face, get out. But Srila Prabhupada could come in that form because he's a transcendental personality. We shouldn't limit him. Those persons who only have faith in Srila Prabhupada and they're in a kind of a diseased condition, their faith is in a diseased way, they have some faith. They have faith in Srila Prabhupada. They don't have faith in anyone else. We shouldn't disturb them, just like we shouldn't disturb a patient in the hospital. They have some faith. Unfortunately, they're in a diseased condition. They don't have faith in anyone else. Adoshadadatta sadhu sangha. They don't have faith in sadhus. But they have some faith in Srila Prabhupada. Fine. That's very good. But unfortunately, they don't have faith that Srila Prabhupada comes in another form. And if we think about that, it gives a certain message. If we say, or if we imply, that Srila Prabhupada cannot come in another form, or that we should not look for Srila Prabhupada in another form, then what are we implying? I don't want to say something very unpalatable, but I will. What we're implying is that Srila Prabhupada is dead. And that Srila Prabhupada is a mundane person who is limited by that material body. And now, like every other material person in the material world, he died and he's gone. And now he's a great saint and he's someone we keep his picture and his deity and things. And we may show him to make some money and whatever like that. Like a museum piece. And that's very unpalatable. I'm very sorry. You please excuse me for saying that. But Prabhupada's not like that. Srila Prabhupada's 100% transcendental personality. And he can manifest according to our desire. The Padma Purana describes, and we'll speak something more about this subject tomorrow, Sangsaro Vaishnava Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. Krishna says, this whole universe is dependent on the Vaishnavas. Sometimes some people, they say that it's a very sad thing. It's a very wonderful thing. Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee and he came from the spiritual world, but what's very sad is he's the last one. And there's nobody else. Prabhupada was the last one. Krishna's broke. Krishna reached into his pocket and he found out that there's nothing left. Krishna's pocket's empty. He doesn't have any more money. No more pure devotees. We're all out of luck. We should have suffered. We're very fortunate. And the devotees who could associate with Srila Prabhupada. But those of us who never met Srila Prabhupada, we're very, very unfortunate. Because Prabhupada's gone. That some people say like that. But Padma Purana says, Sangsara Vaishnavadino, that there has to be a pure devotee present. Otherwise, the universe couldn't exist. He says the whole purpose of the universe is that there's a pure devotee present. If there's no pure devotee present, the universe can't exist. Sangsara Vaishnavadino, the whole universe is dependent on the presence of the Vaishnavas. Deva Vaishnava Palitaha, the devatas, they're nourished by the Vaishnavas. Aham cha Vaishnavadinas. He says, what to speak of them, even myself. I am dependent on the Vaishnavas. Krishna says that. Huh? Therefore, the Vaishnavas are the topmost persons. These are Krishna's words from Padma Purana. Some sort of Vaishnavadi, no? Deva Vaishnava Palita, Hamja Vaishnavadinas, Tasmat Shrestascha Vaishnavaha. Therefore, the Vaishnavas are the topmost personalities. So the Vaishnavas, they're always present. Srila Prabhupada's always present. That's my right. I have a right. I've come to this society. I've come to Srila Prabhupada. I never met Srila Prabhupada. I'm not a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, in spite of what Vishuddha Satrapabhuchai sometimes to say. I'm a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I don't want that abhiman. I don't want that designation. I'm happy with my designation. But I have a right to a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and no one can deny me that. And that relationship may come in so many different ways. How that comes, we can speak something more about tomorrow. So are there any questions or comments, discussion?
You mentioned the second part of Guru Maharaj and that book is in relationship with Radharani in the different after Prema Bhakti Mahana and Neha. When you go to this future?
Excuse me?
When you are going to this future?
When will I discuss that? Not for some time. If we continue classes on this book, I would like to discuss that. It's a nice subject. But we should do things in proper krama, in proper order, proper sequence. So we begin with this first chapters and these subject matter, which is a foundation for the whole book. So Prabhuji, please take a handout here. I don't like handing these things out during before we talk, because everybody just sits and reads and they don't pay attention to what you're saying. So you can take these home with you and you can read these again. There's more statements on here that can be read. So please, if you have a copy of Matsumi's Vrindavan, please read the preface and the introduction tonight and come prepared tomorrow to discuss some things. And we'll review a little bit of what we spoke about today. If you have any other comments or questions, discussion, there will be time for it tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll finish the introduction, and then the next day we'll cover chapter 1 in one day. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samabheda bhakta vinda ki jai, gop premanandi hari.